Many of you are familiar from having heard it many times of the first few men that were contacted, which later became the Navigator Ministry. The third and fourth fellow in this, you know, the first two, Lester Spencer and Gurney. Which eventually led to their conversion was not Dawson Trotman, but it was Lyle. They were willing to listen to him and eventually came to Christ. So there wouldn't have been those four men and that which came later if it hadn't been for Lyle. Now, I didn't make that up. That's their own testimony. I think within the Navigators, there are I don't want to call them cliques, but circles of closeness because of certain periods and certain experiences through which people have gone. And nobody outside can crash that circle because they weren't a part of the experience. So I think I feel a closeness to Lila that many later people didn't because of some of the things that we went through together. And I remember that when Dawson and Lila first got started with this bunch of sailors, that the people in Long Beach, Christians and non-Christians alike, thought this was a great idea. There was a little lapse between the time that Dawson and Lila moved from the home on 1114 Pacific out to 4645 East 6th Street in Long Beach, and there was about five or six weeks that there's no place for Dawson and Lila to meet with these sailors with whom they were in contact. And we really found out in those days who our friends were. That the churches, you know, they looked over their shoulder, this is a great thing. But when it came to opening up a facility, it wasn't available. Long Beach was much smaller then. There was a disproportionate amount of sailor population in the city. And there was a certain stigma on anybody that had anything to do with sailors. Now, you see, Lila's lived through phases, just many things that you wouldn't even know about. And you would think that the Navigators was the most popular thing that ever came along from what you've heard. But that's just one of the events that goes back. So, she has such a rich background of experience and platform from which to share that you know, just unbelievable. And what a privilege it is for us to have with us the, what shall I call it here, you know, the complete link between the present and the very beginning of this Navigator Ministry. So, Lila, what a privilege it is to have you, and what a privilege it is for me to present you.
Thank you very much. I do not accept that lightly. Please tell me if I'm talking loud enough back there. Am I on a speaker, or is this just to have my voice recorded?
Recorded.
Okay. First, I'd like to, it's come to my attention that I should tell you, you who have not listened to this new cassette that's out, that I am leaving the 14th of this month by plane from Colorado Springs to, maybe I should say this, that when Joe Simmons was here last. He asked me if I would come to Australia and New Zealand, and added, would you come with John Crawford? And I reminded him that my name was Trotman. And that Helen's married to John. And as carefully as I could, told him I do not travel with a man as a rule. Anyway, he wanted me to keep this in my heart. And then when a long time later, Lauren asked to see me in the office, and I thought, well, he can't fire me. He's never hired me, so I went in. And he asked me to begin to pray about going to New Zealand and Australia next spring, which is now. And we talked, of course, a long while on it. Then, last September, the end of September, I received a long letter from Scotty. And he gave me a call to the field, to New Zealand and Australia, to Indonesia, all the Asian countries, and gave me an assignment. And the assignment was, because we are we have been for 5 years or so, in a situation where people no longer, I mean, we're a new generation, really, where they never ever heard Doss or met him. And I add that heaven's going to be that much more wonderful. And that he would like for me to come and share before Dawson's conversion, what led to his conversion, and then how he was converted, and then the steps that God used to get Doss ready so that when the Lord spoke to him or showed him what his life work was to be, he would know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And then to share some of our heartache, many of our blessings and the richness of our ministry. And then I just recently received a handwritten letter from Waldron, which was a long one, by the way. And in part he said, you know, Lila, you can't possibly say or talk, you can't say enough or talk too long about the characteristics of this man, Dawson, to the nationals. And I suppose, he said, to many or all of our people. But, he said, long years after you're gone, from the land that he meant, he didn't mean from earth, I guess, they will be talking about this. Well, I have felt a little pressure as I have spent the month of February listening to tapes and doing messages, writing messages, and spending hours alone with God. Because it's very easy for us as navigators just sit and talk our quote-unquote lingo. And we all but me, I don't understand some of this. And listen, may I please say, I've never seen navigators look like this either. And I like it. And whoever made the statement, and I say this lovingly, but whoever made the statement they got back to me, oh well, they're just grandmothers. I want you to think about it. And I understand the person that made that's in the room today. And if you want to talk to me, I'm real open. And if I do act like a grandmother, I want you to tell me. I mean, if I'm old fogey and I need to learn something. We have 9 grandchildren. Our oldest one will be 15 in May. And I actually gave up drinking coffee, because of my grandchildren. I gave it up in November because I can just hear old Wortley say to me, Grandmother, you talk about dope, but you drink coffee. I'm waiting for Todd, the third one, to say this to me. And I'm going to say, but I don't drink coffee. And so I, 2 things Doss asked of me, along with a jillion other things. And one of them was, Lila, don't become prissy. And don't grow old. Well, so whoever made that statement, if you'd like to come, and I'm wide open.
kind of reminds me of John Crawford when Doss asked us to come back to see the Glen. Will Hopkins, John Crawford, and I were to drive back. Doss was already back here, and we hadn't moved in, of course. And so I invited my father-in-law for his 81st birthday to come with us. And John Crawford, sitting at the car driving, see, he said, "Lala June, my name's Lala May," but he calls me Lala June. "Lala June." He said, "Lala June, if you ever see..." Now, he's driving. We're 65 or 67 miles an hour coming to Colorado from California. And he said, "If you ever see any old maid tendencies in me, well, would you tell..." And as he's talking, listen, I'm not exaggerating, we got to 27 miles an hour. And he says, "If you ever see any old maid tendencies in me, would you tell me?" And I said, "You mean like going 27 miles an hour?" "So if you see any old maid tendencies in me..." I'm a grandmother, and I'm very grateful that I am. I really am. And some great man said, "You don't know you're a success as a grandfather till you become a grandfather." But I'd like to challenge that statement. Well, gang, I was born when I was very young. And I had the privilege of being born in a wonderful home. A home where love abounded. Where my daddy was a minister. I mean, my mother was a Christian and my father was a minister's son. And I add, you know, you can be born in a garage, but it doesn't make you an automobile. Doesn't make you a motor car. And my dad was not a Christian. I had very strict training in my home with my mother and father. And my mother started me teaching me to cook at the age of 4. And when I was 12, I was doing, well, at 10, I was doing ironing. But at 12, I was doing the family ironing. She so trained us that with her eyes closed, we would ask her to go into our bedroom, and in the third drawer and on the right-hand side and in the second box, she'd find so-and-so, and that's the way I was trained. So all of this strictness didn't come from just one person. I just want you to know that. But my mother would never take any credit for what I became before she was taken home to glory, because she said I didn't train her to cook for 80 or 180. But basically she did, of course, because you just add a little bit more. Now, in the audience today, and also this morning, there are 6 that live with us: Lauren and Lucy, Jim and Marina, Marina Holmes, and James W. Downing, Thelma Rudine, who's married to Cease Davidson, and Cease Davidson, Betty Skinner, and Millie Hopkins. Do you know of anyone else in here that's lived with us, or who's here that lived with us? So, they know me. Millie lived in our home a little better than 10 years. And Betty Skinner, not quite that long, I don't think. Were you Betty that long? And Jim was converted in the early beginning of our work. And when Dawson traveled, Jim was put in charge of our work, our home. And as a result, it threw the children and myself close in to him. But going back, Dawson led me to Christ when I was 13 years old. And we started going together just before I was 14. And he thought I was 17. I've been listening to the tape. I guess I've listened to it 10 times now, this one tape, starting in 1926 with his life story. So I think I have it straight. Although I was telling Paul that Dawson made a mistake on a tape. So Lauren was saying this morning, our stories may never, ever be the same. But he said that when Mrs. Rittenhouse and her daughter Helen called on him for help to come down to San Diego, you know, to meet with the servicemen because of some difficulty down there, and we had no work at all then, and we were comparatively newlyweds, he said he got on his motorcycle and went down. Well, he got in his tin, was he, and Lila went with him, so he made a mistake. And I'm very glad I was there. Because that's when the name of Lester Spencer was given to Dawson, that weekend. But going back, I was led to the Lord by this man. And he was about, I think, 20 months old. It's been written 14 and 16 and 20 and 21 months and 22 months, I think, that I know of. But I believe he was around 20 months old in the Lord when he led me to Christ. However, in the third grade of school, I knew this man, this boy. He was the senior and the president of the student body. And he weighed 92 pounds. And he had a red mustache. And as a girl in the third grade, I was scared to death of this man. And if you've read a little bit of this chapter where I'm included in a book, you'll read about a watermelon story. And Dawson and his boyfriend threw a watermelon at my feet when I was in the third grade. And I was bloody from the bottom of my feet to the top to my face. I don't know about the top of my head. And I ran home screaming, of course. And Mother took one look at me and thought it was blood, and so she called Daddy from work. So Dad put a shotgun in his car and put Mother and me in the car, and we went out, and Dad was going to shoot this fellow. Can you possibly imagine what went on in our home when my father found out that this yard bird was Dawson, the man he wanted to kill when we started going together? So Jim was right when there was some rough days. We went together nearly 5 years. And in part it was rugged. And not one person under 38 in this room would know what I'm talking about, I guess. Because your courtship is so different today than ours was. Maybe. But when we met, Dawson reviewed my verses. You know, of course, I wasn't in love with him at this time period, but you know, when you fall in love, there isn't anything too hard, too long, too early, too late. Remember? You know, so it was either sink or swim, you know, and I didn't want to sink. So I memorized my verse. The very first book he put me in was the book of Proverbs, and I have read a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs ever since the first week of my conversion. I think I could almost say the book backwards. I know of no other book that can help a parent in a home situation, nor teach you how to pray and what to pray for, any better than the book of Proverbs. So my first assignment was the book, a chapter a day, a verse a day. I was to memorize a verse a day. I was to review 7 verses a day. I was to do an hour exercise. I was to talk to someone about their soul. I was to spend 5 minutes. He started out with 5 minutes alone with God, and I wondered what on earth you could talk to God about for 5 long minutes. No, I really did. Well, you know, when you ask a question, you get an answer. And so I asked Dawson Trotman, what do you pray for 5 minutes? I wasn't going with him at this time. And he says, well, little girl, you just get you a notebook and you start putting things in it that you think about during the day. Well, you think about school, you think about a building, and you think about clothes, and think about boys. And so you put that on your... And Zach, I had my first prayer list. And my children have threatened something with that prayer list, so it is sealed. But you know, Some of you have heard me say that I'm so grateful that when Dawson asked me to marry him, that he didn't say to me, you know, Lila, along with leaving father and mother and a wonderful home, that you and I will never, ever know what it's like to live alone. But one day, our life will be a life of sacrifice, and I'm so thankful he didn't say that, because in the ministry that God led us into, private lives could not be as carefully lived as some of you who live alone. No. I'm also grateful that when he asked me to marry him, that he didn't say, you know, every house we move into will be larger than the one before, that we will have people living with us, our married life. I'm very grateful that he didn't say that we'd be having five children, one right after the other, and that our fifth one would be an invalid. Aren't we glad we... Oh, isn't it thrilling that he keeps some things from... To me, it wouldn't be a life of faith. If I knew what was down the street or around the corner, my dependence wouldn't be on God or as great as it might have been at that time. Or as weak, I don't know. I'm very, very grateful that he didn't say, excuse me, Cecil Davidson. Did I mention your name, Cecil?
Yes.
I'm very, very grateful that Doss didn't say to me that we would, for 10 years, we'd have 15 women. And along with that, 11 male adults live with us. But let me go back. We were married on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, and our honeymoon had to be postponed because Dawson had a commitment, and the commitment was in Placentia, California, where my children go to church now, Ruth and George, and the children are members there and attend there, George and the children do. And Charlie Fuller was pastor then, and that's the first time I ever met Dr. Charles Fuller and his wife, Grace. So, 3 days after we were married, we left for the islands off of California. And goodness, I've forgotten the name of them now. What are they?
Catalina
Island. Mm-hmm. And so someone said to me, well, at least on your honeymoon you're alone. I said, well, we took our best man and his wife. And we did. With us. When we were first married, before we married, Dawson had then what was called a minute men team. A team of fellows who, as far as we knew, were sold out to Jesus Christ. And men who Dawson was very, very close with, they had a motorcycle. Excuse me, this was before we married. He had a motorcycle. Some of them had motorcycles, and that's how they met. And while we were going together, Dawson and a friend of his and a very dear friend of mine met in the hills of the Palo Verdes Hills in Southern California, and they met every morning at 5 o'clock for 5 weeks. And you know, gang, I can remember as though it were yesterday when Dawson came to my folks' home, and said to me, Lila, guess what? And I said, what? Because they were praying for Lomita, you know, Lomita, the little town we lived in. He said, we started praying for Gardena. You know, Gardena. Another little city. And little by little, he would come or phone me in his enthusiasm of how they'd added another little suburb or a little city to their prayer life. Then they started asking God for bigger cities in the Los Angeles area. And I remember well the first time they asked God for a state. And then when they started asking men, these two men, and Walt's still living today, And I just saw him at John Vizek's funeral a few months back. He and his wife. In Southern California. And I remember when they started asking God to give them a man from every city, from every state in the Union. And you would have thought the world had come alive when God led them to pray for a continent. Then Dawson decided to get brave and believe God for a man from every state in the Union and on every continent of the world to be converted in our home. And we were not in service men's work, you must remember this. And at this time when we were going together, I was secretary to Mr. Pearson. Do you remember him, Jim? Claude Pearson? And he was with Merchant Marine Work. And all I heard about gang, and beloved gang, was sailors. And I grew so sick and tired of hearing about sailors. And I used to complain at home, and I think my daddy got so tired of hearing it, and he said, "Sweetheart, you don't need to work. So just quit." You know? Well, that was one of the happiest days of my life. And so I told Mr. Pearson, Claude Pearson, that I gave him 2 weeks' notice. And so he said to me, "Well, could you sit down for a little bit, Lonnie? I have something on my heart I want to talk to you about." I said, "Yes." Well, he wanted to talk to me about Dawson. We were engaged to be married. And he said, "Lila, you will not live with this man 2 weeks. He is ruining your life, and the day you say yes at the altar to him, you've ruined your own." This is a man of God. And I listened to him carefully. You see, it wasn't the first time we'd been confronted. We both had. There were only two people for the marriage, by the way. I'm not kidding. And Daddy Hale was one of them. But the most anyone ever gave us was 2 weeks. I mean, 2 months, excuse me. The most anyone ever gave us was 2 months, I beg your pardon, that we would be married, you know. So I said to Mr. Pearson, "Well, does it make a difference when it's of God? You know, and God is in it?" He said, "Oh, you're just blinded now, Lila. Why don't you get off and date somebody else and compare?" Well, I oh, dear. I talked to Doss about it. Yeah, it's very smart. You know. Well, anyway, in God's great plan, we were married. And we were different in nature and disposition. And I think one of the greatest compliments Doss ever paid to me was, "You know, you're beginning to think like me." Even that he said that I was thinking was a compliment. Well, we were married and lived in North Long Beach. Our first home was there. And Dawson was working in a lumber yard. And I think I annoyed Dawson long enough till he decided to let the girls of the fellas come in, you know, of these minute men. And I, on this tape that I've listened to 10 times because I want it word for word, he says, he just wasn't in favor of the girls. We're white girls. You know, get the fellas, you automatically get girls, and the fellow husband can take care of his wife. You know, and of course, as the modern day lingo is, it was a cop out. You know. Anyway, it was rugged. But we were included with these minute men. And I'm very grateful for the 4.5 years of our courtship, where I was taught from the Word of God. I mean, I was taught by this man through the Holy Spirit of God. And let me say, let me inject this thought. Fellow, you girls don't listen. Okay? Fellas, listen. Now, Anne, listen carefully. Because if you quote me, I want you to quote me right. There isn't anything wrong with you giving your wife some training. Isn't a thing wrong with it. If you do it right. She's not a man. She's a woman. And remember, before you ever entered her life, she was a girl and then a woman. Don't you ever forget it. You didn't make her what you found her to be when you met her. And you want to remember this. God made her, and He fashioned her after His will. And you fell in love with her like she was. And so did Jesus Christ fall in love with you like you were. And with her. And we need each other. A husband and wife. You can learn from him and he can learn from you. And if you're the first fella, or if you're a fella in this room that can't take it, suggestion from your wife, you aren't alone. There's quite a large boat full of them. And I speak from experience. I'm not making this up. That is whose life I've entered or they've entered mine to ask me questions. I have a relative very close to me. And that's his problem. He cannot take anything from a woman. And I don't understand it. He takes her love. And he expects it. He expects her devotion. And he expects her to be true. And he expects her to keep his home and get his meal. See, just think it through. Well, when the Lord led us to the servicemen, we started with one man, and that was Lester Spencer. And at that time, Doss and I were living in a motor court. Now today they call them motels, but this was a very small room. And in the kitchen, the two of us couldn't get in. And that in those years, it wasn't because I was so big; it's because the kitchen was so little. But we started with a very humble beginning. And Dawson ran a service station with about 2 miles from where we lived in this little motor court. And we had a two-plate burner in as a stove. No oven, but just two-plate burner. And we had a Model T at that time. And I was carrying our first child, Bruce. And I would cook the meal and put it in the car and take it down to the service station. And that's where Lester Spencer and Gurney Harris and John Dedrick and Ed Goodrick, Virgil Hook, met with Dawson to learn from the Word of God. Learn how to be a soldier, but first how to be a follower. And then the men confronted Dawson with moving closer in to the waterfront, close to the base, so that they could come over to our home, you see. Our overhead was $100 after we moved, a month, for everything. $100 a month. And I often think that it was just as hard in those days to meet our expenses as it is for some of us today, you know. But Lester and Gurney Harris were raised on farms. Both were Christians when they joined the service, and they joined it to save their money to go into the ministry. And both of them were homeboys, and so I had their help. And those days, those months and years, the men from the starboard side were off one night and from the port side the other night. And so they would bring men to our home. And I think one of the first heartaches of our home after servicemen, we had the privilege of having servicemen, and it was a privilege. I never, ever had any problem. Ever once did I ever have a problem with having people in our home. And both, you see, Dawson, fortunately, I came from a large family and a southerner at that. And I was used to, all my life, all my girlhood, I mean, we made pallets on the floor. And no one ever phoned you or wrote you when they were coming. They just came. And if we wanted to go as a family, we went and stayed with them. So I was raised this way. And fortunately, in God's great plan, both of us love people. So now I got tired in the service, but I never got tired of the service. And there's a big difference. And I'll be quick to say I miss it. And on my way home from Alaska, I will be going to Seattle, and I'll be seeing Margie Gould, staying with her 8 days. And she was Dawson's first secretary. And we brought her home. We had a bus at this time. Jim will remember this. And we brought her home from the Bible Institute the night she graduated, and she became my part-time helper and Dawson's secretary. And she, in time, and when she got on the bus that night, we put her together immediately with Bill Gould in our mind. Dawson and I did. And that's, and that's who she married. Jim Downing was in our home from the early beginning. And by the way, he's 5 months older than I am, and so I always have to look up to Jim. But I'll clue you in. I would anyway. I've been very rich in the friendship of Jim. And in turn, Marina. But Jim was with us a long time, and he could care less about women. And I don't mean he was disrespectful to me, but it seemed to me that he didn't look at them twice or once, maybe, I don't know. And I remember one day, he said to Dawson, well, if the Lord sicked one on him, he'd take her. And Marina Holmes was a student at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles during this time, and Dawson introduced them. Is that right, Marina? He, and Jim? Dawson introduced you, didn't he?
We think. I'm not sure.
Who?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you're not sure. They were introduced. They met, or they saw each other or something. And, but when Marina graduated from the Bible Institute, along with Arsha Luce Bedrosian and Vivian Fusby, who is Kenneth Waters today, Mrs. Kenneth Waters. Arsha Luce Bedrosian is Mrs. Orrin Bell. Nadine Simons, was that her last name? Simons? Oh, yeah, I got a memory for something. Nadine married John Gillespie, who was our first navigator's wife's brother, who has a very rich ministry in Alaska. They came to live just about the same time. Well, it was a new world. It was another chapter and another beginning in our work.